The kids stay up, so like it's only the, I think there's somebody for the 10.
Students mute.
Student mute. Okay, thank you. They disappeared no matter what. Oh, they're up there. That's good. Wow. Anyway, in our multilingual Bible reading today, Arthur has volunteered. Where is he? There he is. He's hidden. Everybody's hiding away this morning. First the kids, now Arthur. Arthur, please come forward, and we are looking forward to you reading to us Mark 9, verses 2 to 9 in Russian, and I'll do the English version afterwards. Here you go.
I will read from a new Bible in new Russian translation. It's an equivalent to British New International Version. Евангелие от Матфея, 9 глава, стихи 2 по 9. Преображение Иисуса. Через 6 дней Иисус взял с собой Петра, Иакова и Иоанна и привел их на высокую гору. Они были там совсем одни. На глазах учеников его облик изменился. Его одежда стала светящей, ослепленной белой, какой не мог бы сделать ни один белильщик в мире. Затем они увидели и Илью, и Моисея, беседующих с Иисусом. Петр сказал Иисусу: «Учитель, нам здесь так хорошо. Давай мы сделаем 3 шалаша. Один тебе, один Моисею и один Илии». Он и сам не знал, что сказать, потому что они были сильно испуганы. Тут появилось облако и накрыло их, и из облака прозвучал голос: «Это Сын мой, любимый, слушайте Его». Ученики вдруг оглянулись и уже никого не увидели рядом с собой, кроме Иисуса. Когда они спустились с горы, Иисус предупредил их, чтобы они никому не рассказывали о том, что видели до тех пор, пока Сын Человеческий не воскреснет из мертвых.
Thank you very much. And again, Arthur reminded us of the fact that we not only as an international church come from a lot of Christian backgrounds, but also a lot of language and cultural backgrounds. And I think this is just great. Now, just to please you, I'll continue with the actual NIV to follow up on this. As we said earlier, it's about the transfiguration, and we find this in Mark 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. There are times in our lives when we look around and wonder, is this all there is? Sometimes it's just a passing question. Other times it's for a season. We look at our life, our circumstances, and we want more. There is a restlessness, a searching and longing for something else. Some call it a midlife crisis. It can make us do crazy things, this searching and seeking. We get a new job, a new car, a new relationship. Maybe we take up a new hobby, go on a trip, or work extra hours. But not much changes. It is not about the circumstances of life. It's about us. The restlessness, the desire for something more, generally means that we have been living at the shallow end of the pool. Life and relationships have become superficial. We have been skimming across the surface. In some ways, life at the surface is easier, more efficient, encouraged and rewarded by much of the world today. It fails, however, to see and experience that the world has already been transfigured and creation is filled with the divine light. Life on the surface keeps us judging the circumstances. We look at our circumstances as a picture. If it is pretty, pleasing, and shows us what we want to see, then God is good and life as it should be. When we don't see what we want, then we often look for a new picture. The restless searching, the longing for more, the desire for meaning are not, however, usually answered by changed circumstances. The answer is found in depth, intimacy, and the vulnerability of the interior journey. We do not need to see new things. We need to see the same old things with new eyes. We do not need to hear a different voice. We need to hear the same old voice with different ears. We do not need to escape the circumstances of our life. We need to be more fully present to those circumstances. When this happens, life is no longer lived at the surface. These are the transfigured moments, moments when the picture of our life has become a window into a new world, and we come face to face with the glory of God. Most of us, I think, seek God in the circumstances of life. We want God to show up, be present, and do something. This is the God who does. This is the God described in Mark's Gospel up to the point of today's reading. We might think about this as the first part of the spiritual journey. It is the journey of discovering God in the circumstances. This is what the disciples have been doing. They have seen Jesus cast out demons, heal Peter's mother-in-law, and cure the sick of Capernaum. He's cleansed the leper and made a withered hand new and strong. Paralytics now walk, the blind see, and thousands are fed. This is the God about whom people talk, the God that gets likes and shares on Facebook. At some point, we must, however, begin to discover the God who is beyond the circumstances. This is the God who is. This is the second part of the spiritual journey. Jesus is leading Peter, James, and John up the mountain to discover the God who is beyond circumstances. Here, their pictures of life's circumstances will become windows by which they move into the depths of God's life, God's light, and God's love. There on the mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Unquote. The cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice spoke of his beloved Son. Peter wants to build dwelling places. He wants to frame Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. It's good for us to be here, he says. He wants to preserve it. He wants to take a picture. Pictures, however, are static. On the Mount of Transfiguration, our pictures of life's circumstances become windows through which we step into a new world, a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing, and a new way of being. That's what happened for Peter, James, and John. Jesus did not suddenly light up and become something he was not. No, their eyes were healed and opened so they could see Jesus as he had always been. The voice in the cloud was not new. Their ears were opened and they heard the voice that has never ceased speaking from the beginning. The transfiguration is as much about them as it is Jesus. When our picture of life circumstances becomes a window into new life, we stand in a transfigured moment. Circumstances haven't changed, we have changed, and that seems to change everything. Hiking can be a tremendously fulfilling activity. Perhaps you spend hours or more on a steep trail and through tough parts of the country, only to come into a clearing to see a view that takes your breath away. Maybe you simply enjoy the journey along the way with no grand goal, but take in the exercise and fresh air and time with loved ones or even in peaceful solitude. Sometimes, though, a hike can just be misery. Maybe you twist your ankle on the way. Maybe you're being eaten alive by mosquitoes. Maybe the humidity is so intense that you're just one giant sweaty mess with nothing to show for it. And really, that's the way life is, isn't it? Sometimes things are going along great and you feel great rewards and joy in your work or your family or your school or your church or almost anything you work on. Other times it feels like you're constantly being beaten down. Yeah. I still got the mosquito picture in the back of my mind. Eaten down really bad. Yeah, so you're beaten down and crushed by your life or your work or your family or even the guilt of your sins. Life has many highs and many lows. We see that play out for us this morning in our celebration of the Transfiguration. This is perhaps one of those forgotten festivals of the church year, paling in comparison to the deserved popularity of events like Christmas and Easter. However, the Festival of Transfiguration, historically actually a Lutheran addition to the church's calendar, has everyday meaning and application for us in our walks as Christians. Mark tells us that we meet up with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, quote, after 6 days, unquote, which naturally leads to the question, 6 days after what? If you go back in your Bibles to Mark 8, you run into one of the highlights and lowlights of Jesus' time with his disciples. Jesus had asked his dear friends who people said Jesus was. They knew and recited the popular options that had been drifting through the crowds. John the Baptist raised from the dead, Elijah, or one of the Old Testament prophets. None of these answers hit on who Jesus really was or what he had come to do. So Jesus turned the question to his friends and followers, but who do you say I am? In Mark 8:29, first sentence, to which Peter gave the beautiful, to the point answer, you are the Christ, which is the second sentence of Mark 8:29. There's a lot wrapped up in those four little words. You are the Christ. Peter was clearly and boldly confessing that Jesus was the promised Savior, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the whole Jewish religion. Everything from the first promises made in the Garden of Eden to the promises confirmed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the whole nation to come from their family was leading to this point, to this man. Jesus was the one who was going to finally bring about the forgiveness God had promised for so long. Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed and chosen one of God. But then Jesus said something troubling. He said that he must suffer, be arrested by the leaders, and eventually put to death by crucifixion. Peter wouldn't have any of that. He rebuked Jesus. Never, this will never happen to you, Peter pleaded. How could God's chosen one endure that torment? How could his dear friend and teacher go through that? And how did Jesus respond? Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men. Mark 8, verse 33. Ouch. Peter didn't want to face the reality of what was coming, even though Jesus was clearly not lying to him. Jesus' rebuke is harsh, yet on point. If Jesus had listened to Peter, the salvation of mankind would be undone. Jesus had a mission from which he could not veer. So that takes us 6 days later to a hike that Jesus took with Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, quote unquote. For that region, think less of Mount Everest and more of a tall hill. The ridge, I say. And what happened? Jesus was transfigured in front of them. We don't use the Latin term transfigure very often, but perhaps we are more familiar with the original Greek term metamorphosis. Jesus was changed, or more, he was revealed for who he really was. That they had known him as Jesus, their teacher. Sure, the miracle worker, but he was from the carpenter's family and the son of Mary. He taught well, but he looked like them. But not here, not now. Mark records, likely from Peter's eyewitness account, his clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. Matthew's account describes his appearance as brighter than the sun, and Luke as brighter than a flash of lightning. This is not a normal human appearance. More than any authoritative sermon and understanding of the scriptures show, more than any miracle could hint at, Jesus was showing himself as he really is, true man and true God. Those transfigured moments are all around. Every one of us could tell a story about stepping back from the picture of our life, seeing with new eyes, listening with different ears, and discovering a window that opened into another world and another way of being. Maybe it was the day you revealed to another person the secret you had carried for years. In telling the secret, the picture of your life as one of guilt and shame became an open window through which you stepped. The darkness gave way to light. The chains fell off and forgiveness overcame sin. One father who had lost a child said that the picture of death and loss had become a window through which he stepped into the mystery of life, hope, and resurrection. Think about the day you held your child for the very first time. Yes, it was a picture of a newborn, but it was also a window through which you stepped and were forever changed. You experienced a new vocation as a parent. You became part of the mystery of creation. The Lord's glory surely shone as much in your hands that day as it did on the Mount of Transfiguration 2,000 years ago. A woman who was dying said she had had some experiences, quote unquote. She had visions and heard voices. Is that real? Is it normal? Yes, absolutely. The picture of her life as one of cancer, pain, and suffering had become an open window through which she stepped. She began to understand that in the midst of her suffering, she was already being healed. There is so much more going on than we usually see or know, she said. The tears and fear are real. But just as real is the voice that says to her, O my daughter, my beloved, you are already okay. Those windows are everywhere if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We often want to go back to those transfigured moments. We are tempted to build dwelling places for those moments. Booths, dwelling places, will only keep us in the past. To the extent we cling to the past, we close ourselves to the future God offers. So Jesus, Peter and James and John came back down the mountain. They could not stay there, but neither did they leave the mountain. They took it with them. It is what would carry them through the passion and crucifixion to the resurrection. Transfigured moments change us, sustain us, prepare us, encourage us, and guide us into the future, regardless of the circumstances we face. They show us who we are. We are the transfigured people of God. Open your eyes and see a transfigured world. Open your ears and hear the transfiguring voice. Open your heart and become a transfigured life. Every picture of life is an open window that says, no, this is not all there is. Let us pray. Eternal God, you revealed to the disciples the everlasting glory of Jesus Christ. Grant us, who have not seen and yet believe, the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we may boldly live the gospel and shine with your transforming glory as people changed and changing through the redeeming presence of our Savior. Amen.